I'm not setting the standard direction for all of them. What I'm trying to do is help them get where they want to be. And so I'm trying to create that culture, that way of...
From InterSystems, it's the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. To learn more about this and other episodes, please visit podcast.healthydata.com.
We're here today with Keith Hallman, the Associate Vice Chancellor and Chief Information Officer of Texas Tech University System. Now, for those who don't know, the TTU system consists of five component institutions, three universities, Texas Tech University, Angelo State University, and Midwestern State University, and two health sciences centers located in Lubbock and El Paso, Texas, respectively. Keith, thanks for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
So we have three primary topics that we're looking to cover today. Like everybody else, we'd like to discuss Gen AI and what's going on at TTU with that, some IT governance and investment portfolios, and I'll be talking about organizational realignment and IT service delivery models. So with that, I'd like to open it up to you, Keith. What sort of current use cases and scenarios have prompted you to develop your own Gen AI solutions, and what are you looking to do with those solutions?
So we're really kind of at the very beginning of it. We are located in the vast plains of West Texas. And so one of the initial triggers, at least from the health sciences side of things, was this initiative around One Health that was a big program for us for getting additional state funding and lent itself to a lot of choices around where we put our energy in developing our university system within West Texas. And one of the biggest drivers for that has been the fact that no secret, rural communities are having a hard time getting access to healthcare. They go, have to travel long distances to do that. And we're trying to figure out ways to better service those communities and give them access to a lot of the technology that is available to the medical industry, while trying to have that balance between doctor-patient interaction and the burden that is placed on the patients. You know, when you have somebody who's really sick and they have to drive in, an hour and a half, 2 hours to go see a doctor for, a 10, 15 minute checkup, it can be really, really hard and expensive and burdensome to the family. So we're working on some initiatives around there. The other thing is that we have several programs under the One Health banner where we're having this relationship between different areas of research. So if you look at like our facilities up in Amarillo, Texas, we have a pharmacy school, a nursing school, and a veterinary school, all located up there on the same set of real estate, with the idea behind that being that we get cross collaboration on research, vectors for disease transmission. You can study what our chancellor calls the food fiber health link there, where you can kind of go all the way through a lot of aspects of our supply chain and see where possible infectious disease vectors are and looking at research that can impact all aspects of that. So turning that towards an AI model, we have an initiative over in the Health Sciences Center, Lubbock, where they are looking at employing AI models to look at standards of care and help with patient engagement. So how do we get through the digital front door to get people there to talk to their clinicians? And then how do we make use of that information so that we can then turn around and build better engagement models, but also get research as to what the major healthcare concerns are within the region to build that back into where do we need to focus our energy in terms of providing services?
So it sounds like there are three main verticals, Keith, for Gen AI at TTU. One is going to be expanding the virtual care program to improve rural community access to care. Two would be collaboration in different healthcare disciplines on your healthcare campus up in Amarillo. And then facilitating a digital front door and improving patient engagement. Would you say that's correct? And if so, would you mind delving into the technicalities of how this is happening? You know, what sort of data are they pulling in from what sort of sources? How is it facilitating interoperability or building upon it? Obviously, you must have already had a virtual care program. You already had research. You already had digital front door. What in particular is AI, Gen AI, doing to augment your stack and your previous service lines?
So that's a great question, and we're honestly really at the very, very beginning of the generative AI discussion. People had a lot of high expectations about how easy it is to bring this stuff to bear. And the reality of it is that we used a lot of tools to get through COVID, for example, and those set. We kind of had our Apollo moment in IT with COVID, and that we proved that, hey, you can do a lot with automation. And then the generative AI model started coming into the public conscious, you know, not long after that, right? So where we're at really is kind of at the very beginning, because I think when you start talking, bringing generative AI into the conversation, you have to realize what kind of investment you're getting really ready to make, not only just to buy the tools, but what are you bringing to bear in terms of people, resources, your ability to train and develop these models. And also, putting into something, you know, that looks like a real practical investment, because you can go down a rabbit hole really, really quickly. So for what we're trying to do, we managed to get by with more of the traditional sources of artificial intelligence, right? Some of the tools that are provided through, you know, things like, tools necessary to develop transcripts and put that into the patient record and that sort of thing. But really where we're talking about with generative AI is very, very nascent, very, very early. The focus really has been to try to use something to build these data sets. But really where the time and investment is right now is just the high level of planning that we're having to go to look into this, because there's not any kind of a canned solution out there that helps you get from point A to point B quickly.
So for example, if we were to make this very concrete, say you said, you know, we already have a digital front door, maybe it's MyChart. Are you on Epic?
We have multiple medical record systems that are out there, which is a little bit of a challenge for us. Yeah.
So multiple EHRs, and you're looking to improve the standard of care, access, and patient engagement. You already have these programs. You have some sort of idea, hey, Gen AI can improve access and allow us to, you know, whatever, help with the virtual care, the research, and the engagement. How would you go about requesting that funding and getting approval? Because like you said, it may be more extensive than what first looks appears to the eye. You know, you're the vice chancellor, associate vice chancellor of TTU. Would you have to go to the legislature, to the governor for an appropriation, to the chancellor? You know, you're the CIO. Do you have a certain kind of budgetary process that you need to go through in order to buy or build your solution? How exactly, what's your kind of decision-making process and governance process for getting your institution to a place where you have a Gen AI solution that's helping your researchers with OMOP, that's helping patients get the information they need when they need it, and their caregivers as well, and then helping people avoid having to make long journeys to get care by delivering care virtually in their home?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we are a university system. So each one of the agencies that we talked about, including the health sciences centers in El Paso and Lubbock, both all have their own chief information officers that I coordinate with. Mm-hmm. The initiative that I was referring to for the digital front door and all the healthcare initiatives around that, that was recently funded through some state dollars that we got in the last Texas legislative session that just ended last year. And it's a kind of a seed program. It's a very, everybody recognizes that this is kind of brand new. It's very early on, and there's going to be a lot of experimentation that's happening there. So the main focus is to see if we can start with developing a standard of care there, and then figure out, what tools are going to help facilitate that conversation, right? Because that part is pretty mechanical. A generative AI solution may help you with chatbot or that sort of thing, but a lot of those things are actually already kind of built into a lot of the tools that you can buy off the shelf. So really, from a strategy, that's probably the quickest way to get up and get running. And so we're kind of looking at what it takes to get those up and solid, and what that plan looks like when you have a consortium of clinics out there working to provide all these different services, and how do we collaborate across, again, all these different EMRs and all different stuff.
So in the interest of time, I'd like to move on to the next topic that we were going to discuss today, and that is IT governance, developing investment portfolios and project and portfolio management portfolios. What sort of work is going on there?
Yeah, sure. So this is not the fun stuff. This is all the boring stuff. But unfortunately, what you've got to do is you've got to give people who write the checks a good excuse to help you do some of these great things, right? So we're looking at a couple of different initiatives right now where we are refactoring our governance to look at changing the budget model that we're working with at the system level. What we've done there is we have defined our budget based off the service portfolio that we provide, and less about individual organizations that compose that, right? Lots of times in a traditional IT budget, you say, here's the IT department, and here's the nickels and dimes that we're going to give them to fund that, right? Mm-hmm. And what we decided to do is to try to develop a conversation around what is the value of IT, and what are we really investing in. I've had conversations with vendors that play in a lot of the service areas that we provide IT services on. And what we're trying to do is develop our budget that kind of mimics what a lot of those vendors are doing to sell their products, right? So for example, if you're using cloud ERP, they're going to charge you by FTE. And since we provide services to universities and health sciences centers across the system, we're changing our budget to kind of reflect something like that, so that we can get kind of comparative numbers, if that makes sense. So people can kind of understand and plan for something that looks a lot like, if they were to go out onto the market, this is what they would be having the conversation like. So that's a kind of a way of saying that, the subscription models that a lot of our vendors are putting out there, we're turning around and trying to emulate that from a budgetary modeling standpoint, so that those conversations are very similar, and we can create some transparency into what it actually costs to really deliver those services internally.
On the topic of IT governance and transparency, and how you're aligning the way you're doing budgeting with the way that the market charges for services, I'm interested in hearing, given that you have multiple EHRs, how structurally you're able to integrate that different data and promote interoperability. Do you have a general unified data strategy that is supported by your governance structure?
So each one of the institutions right now is making a large investment in trying to get data governance going. It is a real challenge, just simply because there's a lot to do, way more than people can really conceptualize in a given day. And so we are working at two levels, one for the common data set for the data that we share from our major systems, and then at another level locally, internally, to all the various things that each institution has, because again, the mission for each institution is slightly different, and they're going to have all slightly different tool sets. And we've had a lot of discussions around, you know, what data governance looks like. Having reference models has been a help. Texas DIR has put out some of their kind of common reference data models, which has been nice to go take a look at. It's been kind of a unique situation for how the, you know, how our institutions have operated, because we, especially on the health sciences centers, with all of the independent clinics, they've all tended to operate independently. And for the first time now, we're really having to make that investment in kind of creating that common language. And so it's going to be a heavy lift. Again, we're in some very nascent kind of discussions, and a lot of that's being driven by the fact that you want to take advantage of these new and fancy tools, and you realize that in order to get data into these things, you kind of have to have some idea of what the common language is. And so it's kind of a chicken and egg discussion.
I'd like to respond to what you just said and also segue into our third topic. So the third topic is organizational realignment and IT service delivery models to help provide insight to the value of IT services. Basically, how do you demonstrate the value of IT to leadership, to the legislature, to your funding sources in order to get the appropriate appropriation? And secondly, on the previous topic of governance, you have all these different organizations that over which, and you're the umbrella organization over these five different organizations. Each one has their own governance structure, has their own mission, as you said, but now you're trying to consolidate them and kind of align them, not only in mission and governance structure, but also in the way that they're budgeted. How do you handle any sort of pushback from those organizations? Because every large organization has some elements that are reluctant to change. And two, how do you calculate that ROI and make the case for the value proposition you're bringing?
Well, you know, and that's a fun topic. The thing about it is that you have to appreciate the fact that each one of those organizations has their own president. They have their own business strategy. And we're here to help facilitate whatever they consider those business strategies to be. So one of the things about higher ed in general is we tend to have a lot of tendrils running a lot of different directions. Mm-hmm. And so the strategy that we have is, what can we do to facilitate that? So I'm not setting the standard direction for all of them. What I'm trying to do is help them get where they want to be. And so I'm trying to create that culture, that way of engagement that says, hey, I'm here to help you. Here's some things that we're doing from a standards level. But how does that help you get from where you need to be?
I'd like to, before we go on to the second part, I'd like to reflect on that for a minute and make an analogy, because I feel like I see a lot of just Texan culture in what you just said. If we could create an analogy with the U.S. federal government, it sounds like instead of having a strong centralized government in Washington, where Congress is running everything and the state legislatures are kind of subordinate to that, it sounds like instead there's the Texan model of a more federated system where each of the states, or in this case, each of the five entities, are operating more independently in their own direction. And then the umbrella organization isn't so much top down as just trying to support the independent directions of each state, or in this case, each sub-entity. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's correct in this case. The fun part about higher ed is that we do a lot of things. The crazy part when it comes to administering that is that every university system has an identity. And within the state of Texas, we tend to let the agencies run more independently of the system office. Whereas if you go to other university systems, they tend to focus on trying to centralize more and more. So like if I go look at our colleagues up at, say, the University of Wisconsin, you see a larger service offering coming from their system office And you know, you see the one that the big Wisconsin logo, right? That they're kind of all the institutions up there kind of tied to, whereas you come to Texas Tech University system and our component institutions all have a very strong identity on their own, right? And so I tend to see us operating more in a facilitation standpoint, and trying to help people get where they need to go. Obviously standardization is something that helps everybody out, but at the same time, you don't want to compromise the mission because they're serving, you know, different areas of interest. So it's kind of like having, going back to the old 80s days where you had kind of these conglomerates, you know, these corporate conglomerates that were all doing different things, you know, and we have kind of the same model of operation as those things did, you know.
If you wanted more collaboration between the medical school and the nursing school and the student identities in the other subcomponents of TTU, would each organization be responsible for supporting their own interoperability, or is that something that would kind of come from TTU? Would you organize, taking the federal analogy again, interstate commerce, or would they take it upon themselves to exchange data between this medical school and that medical school, this county hospital and that county hospital?
Right. So that is something that we are working on developing right now. It's a combination of both. It's not pretty. It's not streamlined by any stretch of the imagination. It's something that we're working on. We are working to raise the research profile of Texas Tech University. We got funding from the state in the terms of TUF funds. Everybody's always heard about the permanent university fund that's available to the University of Texas system and the Texas A&M University system. We actually have six other universities, or six total university systems in the state of Texas, and the other university systems, you know, weren't able to take advantage of that. So for the first time through the last legislative session, funds were set aside, and Texas Tech was the big beneficiary of that. With that, you know, being able to leverage those funds in the right locations, that has really driven a conversation about how do we do this interoperability when it comes to research. And so that's a conversation that I'm working on right now. I don't have a good answer yet to that, but it is something that we are working on. I think, I think the trick is going to be, again, going back to the value of what we're doing, right? And the last thing a researcher wants to be told is you have to do something this way because they feel that it impinges on their creativity. And so one of the things that we've got to do is sell the idea of there's things that you really want to spend your time on and there's things that you don't want to spend your time on that are just stuff that we have to do, and really make that conversation be oriented towards here's how I'm enabling you to do research in an inexpensive as possible practical manner, so you can go focus on the important things and let us focus on some of those things that are important but not necessarily important to the outcome that you're looking for.
Thank you. So for our listeners, to remind you, this has been Keith Hallman, the Associate Vice Chancellor and Chief Information Officer of the Texas Tech University System. Today we've discussed GenAI and how it's being used to drive expansion of virtual care to improve rural community access, collaboration on research and improvements in patient engagement by facilitating and enhancing their digital front door for patient care, and how he's been restructuring his IT governance in order to align with budgetary and consumption-based models of payment in the commercial sector for SaaS and cloud-based solutions, and then how he's been making the case for the value of IT and approaching different governance challenges that are presented in running a federated large university system. So Keith, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on. It was great talking to you.
From InterSystems, this has been the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. Thank you for listening.